the KLYT Broadcast Studio. This is ABQ Connect.
Thank you for being with us today on ABQ Connect. This is Jim Williams with you sitting in, and our friend Steve Ryman will be with you Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday this week, so we appreciate you joining us. Our friend Carolyn Fittipaldi, she is with the Education Plan, the Marketing Director. 529 Education Savings Plan is our topic today, and just in the 5 minutes we've had to talk before we started, Carolyn, you're telling me 8,000 things that I hope you'll remember to say to our listeners.
There's so much to say.
Well, you know, you've actually done a lot. The education plan has really simplified savings as much as possible. And all of your marketing materials, which is kind of your job. I remember when we first talked with you back in 21, I didn't know anything about, you know, 529 plans. And they've become more common. But after seeing you and talking to you about this, I've actually checked with a couple of different brokers. A lot of the investment brokers, financial planners, don't really want to deal with the 529 plan. They think it's a great vehicle, but it does take some work, and the education plan has simplified that for consumers.
Absolutely. And we do get a lot of referrals from financial advisors, believe it or not, because they realize how simple it is for their client to set it up directly.
So just, again, coincidentally, I wish I could say that I was a brilliant planner. I'm not. You are the brilliant planner because you called and said, hey, let's talk about this on the air. But this is a savings month?
This is financial literacy month. But
okay.
This week is America Saves Week, believe it or not. And guess what today's topic is?
What is it?
Save automatically.
So that you're
automatic
not,
contributions.
Yeah, I love that. Talk to us about what a 529 plan is so that our listeners understand where you're coming from.
Sure. A 529 plan is a tax-advantaged way for families to save for future education, simply put. And it's the 529 is the section of the IRS code that authorizes tax-advantaged savings plans for college. In 1996, a bipartisan effort was to establish federal tax relief for all college savings plans, and that's what led to the Section 529.
Yeah, so let's talk a little bit about, you use the word college, but I don't want our listeners to be misled because it's education, right? Like you could use it to go to trade school, right?
Absolutely. And so they originally were established as college savings plans. That has kind of evolved into education savings plans because really the uses are really flexible. It's not just college tuition. It's room and board, books, computers, internet. It's trade school, it's vocational schools, professional schools, certificate programs, it's apprenticeship expenses, and even 529 funds can be used for K through 12 tuition up to $10,000 and student loan repayment up to $10,000.
Now that's so really interesting because I know
flexible.
A lot of people with kids in private schools.
Exactly. So really the uses have expanded something new as of last year, probably since we last spoke, is if you have leftover funds in your 529, which I don't know that too many people do,
yeah.
But that being said, if you do have leftover funds, you can actually roll the funds into a Roth IRA for the beneficiary, up to $35,000 in unused savings.
And so there is an advantage to, and I'm just going to target grandparents because I are one of those. Okay, so I have 6 grandchildren, about to have 7. And even today, even this morning, I'm with my twin 3-year-old granddaughters and my 4-month-old grandson. And I'm thinking the entire time I'm with them and hanging out with them that how are they going to afford to save for education for these kids? Because having children is very expensive. So the first question I have about that topic is, do parents and even grandparents sometimes underestimate the cost of education?
Oh, absolutely. The average cost of college for 1 year and for a full-time student in a public 4-year university in state is nearly $30,000. That is according to the College Board. That's national data. About 40% of that is tuition. So the rest of that is room and board, books and supplies and other expenses, which can amount to about $17,000 a year. So it's really important to start saving early. So you have, I mean, you'll have other grants and scholarships and work study and financial aid and all of that that all comes together and combined to help pay for education. But if you start saving early, you could even have enough money put aside to eliminate that student loan debt, which, or at least reduce it, which on average in 2024, student loan borrowers graduated with over $30,000 in student loan debt. So if you can eliminate or reduce that, you're ahead of the board.
And at 8.5%, you're looking at quite a bit of interest that you're paying on those loans. So it takes a while to get it paid off. Kind of similar to those little plastic cards that we all carry around.
Yeah.
And you know, coming out of college with debt is a struggle. A lot of kids spend years, you know, and that's why I'm always thinking in my mind about, you know, doctors in New Mexico. Well, we've got to do some things to adjust our liability insurance premiums. We have to do some things to, you know, get Medicaid higher reimbursements. But the main thing we need to do is make it so that doctors can afford to become doctors. And, you know, one of the things they could be doing is there'd be some incentives tax-wise for parents to be involved in a 529 plan. Come up with a real plan, because compound interest, which is part of what you're offering, and we're not going to talk about the investments and things today, but there is a way to start saving. And I'm going to mention grandparents again, Carolyn, because I think grandparents, you might be thinking about how you're going to give kids money. I know some people that talk about giving money to their kids when they're dead. How about giving money to your kids when they're alive, while you're alive, and you can give it to them now and let them start saving specifically for education, and they can't just go spend it on everything else.
Right. And you brought up a good point. I mean, just to remind everyone or to let them know that anyone can open an account for anyone. Anyone can open a 529 as long as you're 18 years old.
Okay, now, let's say that you wanted to go get an advanced degree right now. Go get your master's in something. Could you open up?
You can open an account for yourself to further your own education. You can open it for your kids, your grandkids. If you're an aunt or an uncle and you have a niece or nephew, if you're just a friend, you have a godson or a godchild or just a friend of yours that you'd like to open an account for, you can certainly do that. It's a really a great way to help a student in your life.
So let's say grandpa opens up a 529 program for a three-year-old grandchild right now, and the other grandparents find out about it. Can they contribute to it?
Sure. They can either open an account themselves and have their own 529 account for those kids, or they can contribute directly into that 529 account. So that's another really great point that you bring up, that friends and family can give contributions into your account through a one-time gift, or they can do regular automatic contributions on this automatic contribution day.
So you've been doing this a while. How's it working? I mean, do you have a lot of people in New Mexico taking advantage of it?
In fact, our March account numbers, 80% of our new accounts are coming from inside of New Mexico. So we have account holders in every state in the United States. So you don't need to live in New Mexico to open an account with the education plan. But we do have about regularly between 70 and 80% of our accounts, our new accounts, are coming from New Mexico state residents. The tax benefits are great with a 529 plan. So you have tax-free growth and tax-free withdrawals on your funds when you use them for qualified education expenses, which are varied and very flexible. But here in New Mexico, there's a New Mexico state income tax deduction on any contributions you make into your 529 account. And for your friends and family who give a gift into your 529 account, if they live here in New Mexico, they can also take advantage of those tax deductions.
And you said something before the show started. You talked about, okay, if there is a case where you don't use all your savings for college, you can then roll the money into a Roth IRA to benefit the beneficiary?
Yes, that's brand new as of January of 2024 in the Secure 2.0 Act. Up to $35,000 of unused funds in a 529 account. After 15 years, the account needs to be open for at least 15 years, you can take the option of rolling that money into a Roth for the beneficiary, not for yourself, but for the beneficiary. Now, at any time, you can change the beneficiary on that account. So if you had leftover funds in the account and you had another child or grandchild that could use those funds, you could change it to a relative of the beneficiary. And if you just wanted to take the money out and you decided you needed it for something other than qualified expense, you're really only subject to a penalty on the earnings and any taxes that you didn't pay on those on the earnings.
I gotcha. Here's a note here that you handed me about being able to use 529 funds to pay back student loans.
Now,
I'm not smart enough to figure this out, but you don't get a big tax deduction for student loan payments, do you?
I
don't think you do. So if you pay into a 529 plan, you might be able to use that money. I know,
and you can use up to $10,000 a lifetime.
Okay.
For per beneficiary.
I don't know how you remember all this stuff.
It's a lot to remember. It's a lot of great stuff.
Yeah, Carolyn, your time as a marketing director. I mean, you're obviously doing radio shows and you're talking with public groups. I know there's a lot of moms and dads out there. Are you available to go talk to maybe a large women's group at a church sometime?
That absolutely. Always.
How do people reach out to you to do that?
So we have theeducationplan.com is a perfect place to get all kinds of information. We also have an employer section of our website. And that is another thing that we welcome presentations to employer groups, to employees. We'll come out and attend benefit fairs. It's an option for an employer to offer the education plan as a benefit. It's at no charge to the company. They can use payroll direct
deposit. Employers can do this. We got to talk more about that after the break.
Okay.
Carolyn Fittipaldi with the Education Plan is in studio with us today, and we're talking about how to save money for your children to go to school, or maybe your grandchildren, or maybe just some friends' kids, however you want to set it up. The Education Plan is part of the Education Trust Board of New Mexico. And it's really kind of a convenient way, and they've really done as much as they can to simplify the process. So we'll be back with Carolyn Fittipaldi right after these messages.
ALYT, this is AB.
College or trade school, different things. So Carolyn, I want to finish up a thought you were completing at the end of the first segment, which was, I didn't realize it could be an employer benefit to set up a 9 plan for the children of employees.
Absolutely. Employers can offer the education plan as an optional benefit, and they can use payroll direct deposit to help their employees save more regularly. Again, auto.
You love those auto deposits.
Well, it's a set it and forget it. It's a lot easier to be consistent about savings with it and do it regularly and automatically.
And, you know, I know as many people as are listening right now, I'm not sure a lot of people really understand this compound interest thing. We sure understand it when we're making student loan payments because they're high. But you can really do some amazing things if you start saving now. Like I was talking about my 3-year-old granddaughters. Boy, if you start saving now, you'll have quite a bit of money with compound interest down the road.
Yep. Your investment continues to work for you.
And I didn't realize an employer can actually consider that.
So it's no cost to the employer to offer the education plan as a benefit. We're available to do presentations either in person or virtually. We can attend benefit fairs and all of that. The employer can opt to do payroll direct deposit. They don't have to in order to be a partner of ours. And they also have the option to match contributions if they would like to. It's not required, but there is an option if the employer would like to match any contributions, like you see with 401ks.
No, I think that's really cool. Because an employer can be confident that not only are they helping an employee save money, but they're this money specifically for the education.
Yeah, and it's really contributing to the financial well-being of the employees. I don't know if you knew this, but 82% of workers say they expect a current or future employer to role in supporting their financial security and well-being. And that's according to a Harris poll. And also along those lines, 8 in 10 workers would be less likely to look for another job if their current employer began offering more financial wellness tools. And during Financial Literacy Month, what a great time to get that started for you.
That is amazing. Clarify for us again what you can use this for. So when you use the term room and board, so I have 5 children, all grown now, went away to college, and buying food, paying rent, all of that can be used from the 529 plan.
Right. So a student must be in school at least half-time enrolled, and they can use it for room and board on campus or off campus. If they choose off campus, it has to be equal to the cost of attendance of that school. So if it's above that, then they would not be considered a qualified use.
You mean if they want to stay in a beach condo in San Diego at $8,000 a month, that's not going to get covered?
Not unless that's the cost of attendance of the school.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's shocking sometimes. I'm dating myself, but I'm 67. Tuition in New Mexico when I was attending there was $1,800 a year.
Continued to go up, and unfortunately, financial aid has been decreasing. So as the costs are going up, financial aid has been decreasing. So that gap that needs to be closed has gotten wider.
I love that. So tuition, room and board, books, fees, internet. So again, you almost have to have high-speed internet, don't you? And that's not something the university is going to pay for.
Right. So people don't realize the flexibility and the uses. Apprenticeship expenses. So that's not just the fees for the apprenticeship. But if a student decides to go into the trades and they have tools and equipment of the trade that they need, they can use their 529 funds to pay for those expenses as well.
Oh, I know the plumbers union's probably all excited about that and the electrical guys, because, you know, if somebody saves money specifically and you want to go into the trades, boy, people just really do well in that. And again, we're talking about education, not necessarily college.
Exactly.
Now, do you have to graduate from high school? I guess I don't know the requirements of a trade school. I know to go to college, you have to have a high school degree. You have to have graduated. I'm not sure that's true with the trade school.
I don't know what the rules are with apprenticeship, but it does have to be a registered apprenticeship program.
But you don't have any requirements as far as that goes.
No, we personally don't have any.
No, but you basically are going to be able to pay for somebody to go to trade school regardless of what they did in high school. And I just know there's people right now sitting in high school thinking, I'm not really a college person. I really like construction, or I like this, or I like that. So they can go and get a degree. I also know some people that have gone into nursing, and they are going more to a trade school style for nursing, like half as long.
Right. And you can use your funds for certificate programs, for online education. So it doesn't have to be an in-person education. Can be online as well.
We're not going to get into the weeds as to why so many people are transferring out of public schools K-12, but there are a lot that are interested in being in private schools, and I wasn't aware that you could use these funds for K-12 tuition.
Yes, you can, and it's just tuition, so not the other supplies that might be needed, but right now it's tuition, up to $10,000 a year per beneficiary.
So I'm a grandpa. Tell me what I do if I want to set up a 529 plan. I go online and it's all there?
Absolutely. TheEducationPlan.com. Super easy to set up an account. Takes about 10 or 15 minutes online. What you'll need is obviously your name and social security number and address and all of those good things, but also the name and names, there's more than one, social security number. And
is there a different account for each person?
Usually, yes.
Because like I have twin granddaughters that are 3. I can't set up one account for them.
You could, but when it comes time to actually withdraw the funds, only one beneficiary can receive the funds.
I gotcha. So you really need to set up separate accounts.
You should.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. Okay. But it's pretty simple. Sounds like you could accomplish that in fairly timely manner.
Yep.
I mean, we're not super looking easy. This is not like filling out a tax return.
Nope. Super easy. An app that makes it even easier.
And you've intentionally set it up that way.
Yes.
I think the 529 plan, can you give us a little history about the education plan and how the state decided to get involved in that?
So, as I mentioned earlier, in 1996 is when 529 plans were established through a bipartisan effort.
That was a federal deal.
That was a federal deal, yep. And our plans were established in 2002. So we've been around for quite some time now. Yeah. And we do have two plans. We have the education plan, which is our direct plan, which means that you can go online on your own and set up the account without an advisor. We do have Scholar's Edge, which is our advisor plan. You do need to work with an advisor in order to set up that plan. So most states have 529 plans. There's nearly 100 nationally. Every state but Wyoming has a 529 or two plans. And there are unique features and benefits to each of the state's plans. So they're not all the same.
Okay. Now, you know, I'm a former Lobo. So if you are, you know, our big nemesis when I was playing basketball at the university was somewhere like UTEP. So if you have a state plan in New Mexico, 529, but you decide you want to be a minor in El Paso, can you?
Absolutely. You can use your 529 funds with your education plan account throughout the U.S. and even internationally at nearly 300 to 400 international schools, in addition to schools throughout the U.S.
And that's interesting, and I'm sure if somebody has a question about that, they can just reach out to the education plan.
Sure.
TheEducationPlan.com? Okay. Simple. I love that. All spelled out, TheEducationPlan.com.
Yes.
I noticed that there's a limit of $500,000 lifetime contribution. Are there limits annually to how much you can give to the plan?
So lifetime maximum is $500,000. I just want to say that very few people actually reach that maximum. But yeah, that you would need to stop contributing to the account if it reaches.
But you're
that.
Talking about contributions. You're not talking about earnings,
right? So the value though, once it reaches $500,000, you would have to stop contributing. It could continue to grow on with interest, but not any additional contributions. So that's a lifetime amount. Annually, there are no contribution limits, if you will, but there, for gift tax purposes, there is the gift tax exclusion amount, which is $19,000 this year.
Okay.
So that would mean if you want to avoid gift taxes, you can contribute because a 529 contribution is considered a gift for gift taxes.
Okay.
So it's $19,000, but that being said, the IRS also allows 529 plan account holders to use accelerated gifting. So you could give 5 years worth in 1 year.
Oh, wow.
If you chose to do that. So you could, in essence, you could give $95,000 in 1 year.
Tell me if this is right. And I don't have this on our little list, but I just want to bring it up. So I have some experience with how much you can gift your children. I have lots of children, 5 of them, and grandchildren. So you're not limited to $19,000 annually per family. It's per person.
It's per person, right?
So like
that's for gift tax purposes only, and against the lifetime limit. And just a reminder, I'm not a tax advisor.
Right.
I'm not a financial advisor. So it would be best to speak with a tax advisor to get the ins and outs of the accelerated.
What have you seen work best? Do you think it's... I guess everybody kind of stomps out their territory when you're a grandparent. I kind of like my in-law grandparents. I don't know if that's the right term, but my daughter's husband's parents are just amazing people. So I'm not sure we would ever fight about who opened the 529 plan. It'd be easier just to set up one for each one of the kids. But I can see in some families where that might be a conflict. How do you see that more successful though when families kind of get together and do it all at the same time? You know, maybe everybody's just, you know, throwing in $50 a month for the child,
yeah,
something like that.
Every family's different, you know. Some families want to to have that one account and all collectively kind of crowdfund the education in that one account. Others really like
crowdfund. So you know all those little buzzwords, crowdfund. I love that. Tell me again how much college is, what is the cost now? Is it $30,000 a year average?
So yeah, that's a public four-year in-state university, and that's according to College Board's recent data from 2024.
Wow. I mean, it's, I know this. I know private school education K through 12 is $10,000-$12,000 a year at the least expensive private schools. I know some private schools in Albuquerque that are upwards of $30,000-$40,000 a year. So it's, you know, education is very, very important, I think, and not necessarily college, but I know a lot of young people. I had the fortune of coaching a lot of kids over the last 30, 40 years, and I know a number of them that are involved in the trades, and they're doing wonderfully. So it's, don't think college, think about education and preparing for your career.
And you had mentioned something, I think it was during one of the breaks, about financial aid and how 529 could affect financial aid. And I wanted to address that because that's a question we get quite frequently. So on the FAFSA, a 529 is considered a parental asset. So if the parent owns the 529 account, it's assessed at 5.64%. So it's not a real big impact on financial aid. But something new with the simplified FAFSA is that grandparents are no longer considered, any gifts from grandparents are not considered on the FAFSA application. So a grandparent who has a 529 plan for their grandchild, it won't affect the financial aid eligibility at all.
I love it. Carolyn Fittipaldi is the marketing director for the education plan in New Mexico. She visits with us once or twice a year, and it's always a pleasure to have her. There's always little tiny nuances and changes, and I was teasing Karen a little bit in that this is internal to her. She does this so much. She's talking to people about all these different questions, but if you're driving down the road right now and listening to the radio, you can't get everything that Carolyn is saying, nor do we want you to try to write it down while you're driving. So go to theeducationplan.com, and people can also reach out to Carolyn and others through the website. And everything you want, everything you need to set up an account is available to you at theeducationplan.com. We'll be back with Carolyn right after these messages. Stay with us. I always get a kick when I read notes that I'm handed about things like CNBC estimates that the cost of college has increased more than 25% within the last 10 years. I would say that that is a that understated. I just think everything has gotten so expensive, Carolyn. And to reiterate something I asked you earlier, do parents just in general not really consider all the expenses of going to school? Because when you're a student, and I don't know about you, but when I was in college, I was an athlete and I had some tuition and stuff paid for, but I was also working. And it was still difficult to pay the rent and do all of those kind of things.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think people do underestimate, but also keep in mind, that sticker price is the sticker price. Mm. That is not what families usually end up paying because of all of the financial aid, the scholarships, the grants that are available. And there are lots and lots of those available that people aren't even aware of.
Yeah.
That can bring that cost down.
Well, you mentioned FAFSA, and you know, they have some the Pell grants and some of these other things that are ways to help offset. But again, they're student loans. And one of the things we're trying to do really is minimize the amount of student loans, because student loans are no great interest rate. They're up there around 7.5%, 8.5% now. And that really adds up, especially if you get $50,000-$100,000 worth of interest on something like that. It's going to take a while to pay off.
Absolutely.
Tell us a little bit about setting up the account. Is there a minimum investment required to set up the account?
So no, there is not. You could literally open up an account and not fund it, which would defeat the purpose, obviously. Mm-hmm. But there is no minimum initial contribution or regular contribution requirement. Although, as we mentioned earlier, auto regular contributions automatically contributed into your account are usually the best way to grow your account over time. But any bit that a family can afford, every bit helps, and it really, there's no minimum.
I mean, could you set up an automatic contribution to go in at Christmas and on a birthday for somebody that you set up an account for?
I guess you could.
I mean, but you kind of want in your mind to mark a date. You mentioned automatic contributions.
Yeah, and I mean, it depends on how you set those up. If you're setting it up through your bank, if what your bank allows. I set up regular contributions every other week to kind of coincide with my paycheck, if you will. Uh-huh. Sometimes I'll do a monthly contribution. It's really up to you and what, you know, works with your bank's auto deposits.
And the money is not tied to the person that's the beneficiary. Carolyn's granddaughter, she is, let's say she's 20 years old. Well, you're not old enough to have a 20-year-old granddaughter. I am, but you're not.
Thanks, Jim.
but let's just say you've got a 20-year-old granddaughter and they want to use the money to go to a university overseas, and that's an approved institution. They can basically use the money, and you've already reiterated, you know, room and board, tuition, books, fees, all of those things are part of it. Does anybody ever get in trouble spending the money on stuff they shouldn't?
Well, it's up to the account holder and the beneficiary to keep track of their expenses. Mm. So you're going to want to keep good records. We're not going to ask for those records. You need to have those on file in case.
Yeah, because you're filing a tax return, right, and all that stuff, right?
Right. So you're going to want to be sure that you're using the funds for those qualified expenses, which are many, but there could be a chance that you're using them for a non-qualified expense.
Now, if let's say you've saved up $50,000 and you mention, you know, there's some colleges that are quite a bit of money, maybe $30,000 a year. Three of my kids went to a school that was $50,000 a year. Is there a limit to how much you can take out?
You mean all
at once?
No, I mean, whatever you decide to withdraw, you can either have that withdrawn and sent to you as the account holder. You can have it sent to the institution.
Oh, that's all worked out through you guys.
Or you can have it sent to the beneficiary. It's up to you as the account holder to decide how you want that money to be withdrawn and sent to.
What kind of feedback are you getting from people that are part of the education plan? I mean, you get good news. What I like about this is you're marketing something that feels good, that is good, and really helps people. That's got to be a neat opportunity for you.
It is. And I mean, anytime that we can help families reach their goals for their kids and their own future really is a great, just feels really great to be able to do that. It's incredible to hear feedback from families that they're just grinning ear to ear and they're so excited. I, you know, the other day I got a text from somebody saying how it felt so good to be able to write that check to the university for their daughter's first year of college, and how exciting it was to see that money that they had saved for so much, you know, time, be able to put to good use to help their child with their college.
You know, of all the things that I'm intrigued with, there's probably five or six, but the top one on my list right now is this could be an amazing way for employers to really help their employees long term. And the employer doesn't own this account. I know so many times you get into 401k or something like that and you're not vested or whatever, but when you set up a 529, you own
it. It's done. Yeah, it's done through the employee, and they set it up on their own. They do it post-tax. So if they want to take advantage of the in-state tax deduction, it's up to them to do that on their taxes. But it is post-tax, unlike a lot of retirement plans, which are pre-tax.
And the earnings on the account.
Grow tax-free.
Grows tax-free. That's got to be a really significant number. I mean, you're earning, obviously you have an organization that manages the investments and all of those kind of things. Some people today are kind of freaking out. We have a gentleman named Brian Cochran that visits with us every Friday. And Brian loves long-term investments. He tells people not to panic, you know, don't sell and then try to buy back into the market and all these different things. And so your 529 plan is exactly that. It's a way to get multiple people to contribute, even your employers, and watch that money grow tax-free.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, we always have to remind folks that it is an investment account. It's subject to market volatility. There will be and are ups and downs in the market, but we do have a variety of investment options available in the plan based on whatever your risk tolerance is. You know, if you want more aggressive funds, you want something a little bit more conservative, there are options available in the plan. And the IRS lets you change your investment options twice a year. No more than that, but you have the option to make a change.
Yeah, and they can do that all at the educationplan.com. And by the way, if you want some more information about employers and how you might contribute, go to the educationplan.com/4, employers. And there's some information there. So the educationplan.com, Carolyn Fittipaldi is their director of marketing, and she's going to be with us for one more segment up till 2:00. Thank you so much for being with us on ABQ Connect, and we will be right back. Carolyn Fittipaldi is with us. She is with the Education Plan, part of the Education Trust Board of New Mexico. She's the marketing director, so she's the one that gets out in the public. She goes on radio stations like KLYT. I'm so appreciative of her being here and talking to people that, you know, our radio station is a little different, Carolyn. People don't usually listen to us as background noise. They're listening because they want to find out about what's going on in New Mexico in terms of ministry, who's doing good things. We kind of focus on good news around here. This is good news. 529 plans are good news, but I do have to confess just my own character problem. You know, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. I wish I would have done more of this when I was quite a bit younger, because it would have been a lot easier, especially with all the kids I have. Five kids and about to have my seventh grandchild. How am I going to catch up?
Now is the time.
It's never too late. That's what I was fishing for.
It's never too early.
Yeah, and that's really that. You really mean that when you say that. That's not just a marketing gig. It's never too late. I mean, start saving now and start growing that money. You mentioned at the beginning of our show today that this is Financial Literacy Month, and the educationplan.com is planning some things to help people with more information about financial literacy.
Yeah, so we're in the process of building a landing page on our website for financial literacy. We're going to have lots of links to resources, national resources, local resources. We just recently partnered with Tutor Dr. Albuquerque on some basic financial literacy basics materials. These include topics like, what is a bank? So it's as basic as that. Fun with budgeting money. Checking versus savings accounts, understanding paychecks and saving for college. Those are some of the topics. Each module has a quiz that users can take to test their knowledge of the topics. And these are really for kids mostly, for the younger folks and more basic topics. But we'll have those documents are currently available on the website, but they'll also be available on that new landing page for financial literacy that we're creating.
I'm just thinking a lot of us, we think we're very wise, but if we have a 16-year-old high school student that has a lot of dreams to attend a certain college, they can kind of keep us in line, can't they, if they had a 529 plan?
Sure, absolutely.
I mean, it's a point of focus. It's what you are prioritizing in your own life. I think I've heard 100 speakers. I've even heard this from the pulpit that if you look at somebody's checkbook and you see where their money's going, you know where their faith is, and that's really true. What's important to you is, and so I'm hoping that a lot of listeners will make this important, because you've simplified the process. It's an easy way no limits on the amount of contributions.
And I know we talked a lot about the cost of college and the mm-hmm. and how much it is. But you know what? Every bit helps. Research shows that with just $500 saved for college, a child is 3 times more likely to attend and 4 times more likely to graduate than those without. Now, obviously, that's not going to pay for their college, the $500, mm-hmm. but they know that someone believes in them when they have mm-hmm. just even just that little bit saved for them.
Yes. We have, I'll give you an example. We have some people that we really appreciate that sponsor our program. During each one of these breaks, we thank them. We have 3 companies right now that are car repair operations, Japanese Car Care, Southern Boulevard Automotive, and Christian Brothers Automotive. And I mention all 3 of them because they're all just amazing people, and they're very honest business people. They're going to take care of you. But I know that each one of them hires mechanics that have a certain certification. I can't remember what it's called, ASE or something like that. And that requires education. So the education plan would fund that, it sounds like.
So certain certification, professional certifications currently are not considered qualified. That is right now in front of Congress. There are several bills that are being considered that further expand the uses of 529s, and that is one of them, the professional certification.
The reason I love bringing this up is because this is stuff we need to do as a community. You know, this is like, you know, getting a degree in a trade. But, you know, to become a master mechanic, and both men and women are involved in that. We all need somebody to take care of our cars. But I'm just trying to give a vision for people that even since the last time we've met with you, Carolyn, the law has changed and it's including more things.
And they're looking at adding more and more qualified expenses. And we're you know, keeping an eye on the legislation as it's in front of Congress.
And what I like about it is both parties, and I know there's more than 2 parties, but 2 main that are clashing all the time, and I love the fact that there's some cooperation in that. They're trying to provide some incentives for people to get educated and go to work. Have you seen people, have you been doing this long enough that you've seen some graduates from education, whatever, may it be college or trade schools or something, where they come and say, hey, Carolyn, thanks so much. We don't have big student loan debt, and we were able to get through it because of the education plan.
Yeah, I spoke with a young lady and her mom not too long ago, might have been within the last year, and she had enough scholarships and other, you know, grants or whatever to pay for undergraduate, but she wants to go to medical school. And her 529 plan is going to pay for that.
Now, see, I didn't even ask you about graduate school.
Yeah.
That's really important.
And she wants to go to medical school. And she has enough money in her 529 account because they had been saving consistently over time. And she didn't need it for much of it at all for undergraduate. But she does need it for medical school. And she has it available to her. And they were really excited about that.
Well, and I think the governor of New Mexico passed a law here 3 or 4 years ago where they pay tuition for people to go to school out of high school. But I think that's only college.
So, and that's, you know, that's another good point to bring up. People need to realize that scholarships usually don't cover everything. Mm. Scholarships like the Opportunity Scholarship are wonderful because they pay for tuition at any of the in-state colleges. That does not pay for the other expenses that you need that I mentioned earlier that are on average.
People have no idea how much books and all that kind of stuff is, computer, all of it. And I don't even know some of that now because in the old days we used to actually have physical books, a lot less of that, but you still have to pay for the books, but now everything's online.
Exactly.
And those fees and all of those things are not cheap. And it would even cover the cost of a computer mm-hmm. if you're using that for education. I just find this, do you ever get overwhelmed by all the information, or is it just kind of internal to you and you really try to keep it as simple as possible? If somebody right now wants to open up an education plan, 529, how long would it take them if they went to theeducationplan.com?
Well, Everybody's different, but it takes about 10 to 15 minutes. If you have all of your information ready to go, obviously your name and address, social security number, the name, birth date, and social of your beneficiaries, any banking information that you are going to use to make that those contributions, 10 to 15 minutes. And of course, you'll be asked to make your investment selections at that time, too. But we also make that super easy. We have our Keep It Simple option, which most of our account holders choose, which is based on the year of enrollment of the beneficiary. So all you have to do is put the age of the beneficiary, which you are required to do, and it will automatically, if you choose that option, it will automatically pick the enrollment, the year of enrollment portfolio based on the age that the year that they will be 18.
Now that's interesting. So there's a there's a focus to the investments for that particular time.
Right. And what it's set to be more more aggressive when the child is younger. So if they're a baby and you set it up right away when they're born, you put that in that year of enrollment portfolio, it will adjust over time as it gets closer to graduation. Those investments will become more conservative.
This has nothing to do with anything, but do you ever see old people setting up 529s for themselves because they finally have time to go learn something that they want to learn?
That would be amazing, huh?
Well, you know, I don't think that I would like to go back to college. I went to college for 6 years, enjoyed a lot of it, but, you know, I'm not a go-to-school guy. But I work with probably 4 or 5 people that they are just constantly, like, they have multiple doctorate degrees. And so you're not just talking about people that want to go get an undergraduate degree. You can use this for, you know, advanced degrees.
Yeah, absolutely. Or if you change your mind and your career at a late stage and you want to try something completely different, get a certificate in some, you know, get a culinary certificate or whatever. But also keep in mind, if you want to open one for yourself, maybe you don't have children yet or grandchildren yet, but you want to have an account for yourself for now, you can change that to another beneficiary when you're done.
Oh, so let's say, yeah, if you're a young person, okay, let's just say recently married, you end up over a 4 or 5 year period, you save $30,000 or something like that. Then you have a child, you could actually move some of that money or all of that money to somebody else.
So you could use that. Let's say you're in graduate school and you're newly married and you want to use some funds to help pay for graduate school. Maybe a couple years later, you're going to have children. You could change the name of the beneficiary to your child, and then that money would go towards their education.
Yeah, I like the fact that everything coming out of your mouth, Carolyn, makes this easier. I mean, there's no real limits.
I try to do that.
I mean, you've made it so it's very simple. And I didn't know that April was Financial Literacy Month, but this is just one more component of giving people tools to make life easier. And it is quite a stress when you're applying for student loans and you don't have money saved and then trying to find a way to pay that back. I know, been there and done that. So this would be a way to really avoid a lot of that. But this doesn't mean that if you're 45 or 50 years old, you can't start saving money, especially if it's for your child or a grandchild. Never too early.
Never too late. Never too early. And a little goes a long way.
It does. It does. And I think it's amazing all the things that have been accomplished here. Educationplan.com, theeducationplan.com. It's a 529 education savings plan administered by the Education Trust Board of New Mexico. Carolyn Fittipaldi, their marketing director, is with us today. And Carolyn, we appreciate you being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks.